Hello and welcome to Two Old Guys on the Back Porch. I am Steve Scotch, and we have the lovely and talented Cat, that's C-A-T, pulling out all the stops. Cat, what's happening?
Hey, how y'all doing? We've been found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all your premier podcast platforms. We also can be found on Facebook and Instagram. Give us a follow. And if you found me on TikTok, we'll TikTok to you. The two towns we're shouting out that we've got some listeners in are there in California. The first town is Santa Rosa, California. It is where wine country meets beer city. Santa Rosa has earned the reputation as the craft beer capital of the United States. And it's also one of the most expensive cities in the United States to live in. It's even more expensive than New York City. We're liking those real estate prices, don't y'all? Our other town is Elk Grove, California. It is about 15 miles south of Sacramento, established in 1850. It was proximity to the historic Sutter Fort, the crossroads today of the business, entertainment, mail service, and agriculture, as well as a home for the gold miners in the nearby communities. Giving y'all a round of applause.
All right, alcohol is always a go here on the back porch. And remember this one, liquor before beer, you're in the clear. Beer before liquor, never sicker. And boy, I had to find that out the hard way, way back in the day. Today, I'm just sipping on some 12-year-old scotch. I'm going to have one, then I'm going to have another, and another, and another. Cat, what you got?
I've had a rough week, and I basically have a drink I am calling the basic bitch. It's basically raspberry vodka and some Diet 7-Up.
Wow. That's pretty basic.
Pretty basic, bitch.
But it sounds sweet like you, babe.
Thanks, doll.
All right, here's one of the biggest decisions you'll ever make in your life. Is do you go all in and buy a house and be in debt for most of your adult life? Or do you just go the apartment route and pay rent month after month, while gaining no ownership of anything? It seems these days, the house, dog, white picket fence, seems like that dream is dying a slow, horrible death. The housing prices, not just here, probably everywhere, are insane. It's like half a mil around here, $500,000. For just like a little house, little brick house sitting on a little plot of land. That's where it's at right now. A lot of people.
I mean, a condo. We have been looking at condos with a family member, and that's $300,000 just in the gate. And that's hardly anything.
I don't know.
We took a tour. It was hardly anything.
Which way this thing's going. A lot of people are. They put the brakes on buying a house right now, or even buying real estate to put a house on later down the road, which I understand, but waiting this thing out, it's really not going to help. I mean, have you ever seen the price of anything in this country go down?
I don't know. The interest rate went down, and you would think people would just rush out and start thinking about
buying. Changed.
Nothing really changed.
Yeah. I mean, interest rates, it's like a seesaw.
Yeah.
It's like up, down.
Well, I mean, if you go back in history, 2008 was one of the worst years this country ever had, basically because they were giving away money left and right. And a lot of people lost their shirts.
Yes. I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I think the apartment deal might be the better deal at the moment. Of course, ownership, it is awesome. You buy a house on an acre of land. But do you ever really own it? And I say this because even once you pay it off, you know, your house and land, you still owe personal property tax, real estate tax every year on something you own. You know, you did the right thing, and you still get an envelope in the mail every year telling you you owe more. It's kind of bullshit. I understand some taxes are necessary, but taxing us, you know, for wanting us to own a home and some land, that's a bit much. If you have the collateral to go the house route in a subdivision or out in the countryside, good for you. Do it. But most young people, young couples right now, they're doing the math, and it doesn't add up these days. So let's make a case for the apartment. Now, the apartment world, it doesn't sound that attractive, but the apartment game, it's kind of stepped up a little bit. You know, let's see what you get. Some of them, you get like a workout room, you get a nice pool. They're animal friendly now, some of them. Totally different from the old school apartment game. And, you know, when you buy a house in a neighborhood, you could end up with dodgy neighbors, barking dogs, the old homeowners association telling you what you can and can't do. With the apartment, you know, if you don't like the sitch, you just, you know, ride out the lease and just move on. Not that you're tied down at a house. You can always, you know, sell it, move out. A lot less easier with the apartment. Apartments, maintenance, no yard work. That's kind of a big factor these days, because the younger generations, they don't seem interested in buying lawnmowers and weed eaters.
No.
Or even using them. The last few generations, they don't seem interested in even going outside.
No. There's no computer so I can click my mouse with on outside on the lawnmower.
I'll just go to work, pick up some Den-Den on the way home, and start playing video games. I don't have to paint the door, fix the gutters, screw all that. It is a different world now, different time. Things have changed, mainly for the worse, but, you know, people's paychecks don't equal a mortgage right now. At the end of the month, you got nothing left. Around here, there's a lot more, what do you call them, Kat? They're not apartments. They're like condos or townhouses. What are these things?
Okay. In my opinion, like the one we went to go see, it's a condo because there's several levels.
Right.
The thing I was... And before, when you and I met, was a townhouse.
Oh, because you had first, second, and third floor.
Right.
I got you. Yeah. Again, it seems like apartments, condos, a lot more of that stuff's popping up around here than houses being built, which I kind of think that says a lot. A few years ago, you never hear anyone, you know, say renting is better than buying. But I think the tide is shifting. Am I wrong?
They're saying it's less financially burdensome to rent. But, you know, I come from a man who sat there basically said, you putting rent into that, you're basically flushing it into the trash can.
That was the old school
thing. That was GLH's motto was you were flushing that stuff into the commode because you'll never see that money again, whether you're building equity.
Right.
With owning a home.
I don't know. I think the younger generations have spoken, and it's all about convenience. Not being tied down to paying a mortgage for most of their adult life. It's a big decision. And in the end, you know, you got to do what's right for you. Where the housing market is going to go in the future, who knows? But right now, it's hard to sign on the bottom line. All right, let's roll right into One Tough Awesome Lady. All right, this lady's name is Clara Bow, born in 1907 from Brooklyn, New York, was an actress who made the transition from silent films to, they called them talkies back right then. I think the movie It brought her global fame, and she got the nickname the It Girl.
Well, let's back it up. Everybody here is thinking of a scary clown that... That was a movie. That's not the same It.
Okay. All right. Very sassy, at the same time, sultry look.
She looked like Betty Boop. I think Betty Boop.
I'm going to get to that.
Oh, sorry.
She did make you look.
Right.
You would look twice at Clara Bow. Had a horrible upbringing. Father couldn't make a dime. She said she raised her mother. Her mother didn't raise her because she had major mental problems. Clara's introduction into acting was she won an acting competition called Fame and Fortune. Dancing Mothers, Man Trap, I mentioned It. All these movies made Clara Bow a star. Started doing talkies, which was movies with audio. In 1927, her and Buddy Rogers did a flick called Wings that won the first Oscar for Best Picture. Clara Bow was in that. She also did a movie called Call Her Savage. Now, this is way back when. That movie had portrayals of homosexuals on the screen. There was a scene in a gay bar. All of that was taboo in the 1930s. Clara Bow was a big box office draw, second only to Joanne Crawford?
Right, Joan Crawford.
Joan Crawford, sorry. For her contributions to the film industry, she has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
She had some struggles with mental illness. She was diagnosed with schizophrenia, underwent shock treatments.
I didn't know that.
Suffered from bipolar disorder. She retired in 1933, but series of scandals in her mental health. She ended up dying of a heart attack in 1965 at 60 years old.
Yeah, I think that mental stuff happened later on.
Right. Since it was the silent era, many of her 57 films don't exist anymore because the film that they used to deteriorated so bad. Some of them caught fire.
Damn.
And so they're just only fragments of it, of her films that are actually left, including Wings. There are only a few of her films have been preserved. So
I never heard of Clara Bow, but
and of course, Taylor Swift has a songbook called Clara Bow, but inspired by her.
That's right. It was released on that horrible album she put out this year.
Steve.
Prince had a song, Condition of the Heart, that mentioned Clara Bow. And Cat Already Blew It. There was a cartoon character, probably one of the most famous cartoon characters ever, and that was Betty Boop, who was modeled after Clara Bow. And that makes Clara Bow one tough, awesome lady. Did we watch anything last
week? We were watching, and this is one I had wanted to watch, but I was too cheap to order Showtime when it first came out. And so it's made its way to Netflix, and I got to watch the first season. It's called Yellow Jackets. The story follows a group of teenagers involved in a 1996 plane crash. It was like a big soccer team. They were supposed to go to Nationals, I think, in Seattle. Ended up crashing somewhere in, British Columbia area. It was like a high school soccer team.
Okay.
That was a girls' soccer team that was going to go to Nationals. And it's really good because eventually things go dark. Some people have started. Of course, a lot of people died in the crash. Some people died after the crash. They're in the woods with bears and wolves and everything. And also, while that's going on, you're seeing the modern version of these people trying to live life after having gone through a plane crash like 25 years before. And the adult versions of the teenagers, one is probably the best actress ever to come to New Zealand, one of Steve's favorite, Melanie Lynskey.
Yeah.
Juliette Lewis is in it, Christina Ricci.
Dang.
And it's really well done, and it's really good. And eventually you find out that at the beginning of the series that they had to resort to cannibalism.
Oh, Lord.
It takes a turn like the soccer players there. And
this is all true.
No, this is not true. The one in the Andes was true. The soccer players ended up being cannibals. But this is like a modern version with teenage girls.
Oh, this is... Did they take some of that story? Or no?
Kind of use some of that story to base it on
this. Not a true
No. Anyway, I've enjoyed it. The second season's already happened. I probably a cheapskate and probably not going to sign up for Showtime. The third season's coming out the beginning of 2025. It's really good. I mean, a lot of times they put, of course, since these are teenage girls, they're using some of the music from the 1990s to kind of help the story
give you that feel,
you know. And it's really, really good. I'm not saying it. It has a 96 on Rotten Tomatoes. So if you get it, you have Showtime, go ahead and watch it. If not, do like I did and check out the first season there on Netflix.
And it's called
Yellow Jackets.
Yellow Jackets. All right. Kat, I'm a little bit parched. Do we have a shot?
We have a shot. It is the white gummy bear shot.
What?
It's part raspberry vodka, peach schnapps, sweet and sour mix, and a little bit of 7-Up at the end to kind of give it a little bubbly.
It sounds kind of sweet. It looks like water.
Well, that's what it's white. It's kind of clear looking.
And it's supposed to taste like a gummy bear.
It tastes good. I'm not sure if it's a gummy bear or not.
That is pretty good. That's a good one.
I agree.
Can I get another one?
Sure.
Here you go. Fill me up. And it's called the who?
The white gummy bear shot.
All right. Every time there's schnapps in something, you can't miss it.
Schnapps.
It's there. All right.
I think they like to use the peach because it's really, really sweet.
Yeah.
A lot of these shots we've been doing have peach in it.
All right, this week we were bumpered in with a band called Lost Dog Street Band, formed in 2010 from Cottonwood, Tennessee. Well, that's where Benjamin Todd Flippo is from. And Lost Dog Street Band is basically Benjamin Todd and his wife, Ashley May, playing pure folk and country tunes. That's what I'm going to call it. Benjamin, raised by his grandparents, got kicked out of school, started hopping trains as a teenager. Benjamin Todd playing on street corners.
Or as they call it, busking.
Yeah, I think we mentioned that on another podcast. I didn't know about this whole scene, but it's pretty cool. Dude got hooked on drugs, lost his girl, heading down the wrong path. And then he got his shit together. And Ashley May, thank goodness she took him back. And, you know, they played the Grand Ole Opry this year. What a journey this guy's been on.
I think in 2022, he took a break for a while and they bought a bunch of land there in Kentucky and started a nonprofit dedicated to providing musical instruments instruction to youth.
Yeah, I've watched tons of their videos on YouTube. They're really awesome. But, you know, to go from basically living on the streets and standing on, you know, and then standing on the stage of the Opry, that's
got to be mind blowing. If you want to hear them themselves tonight, they're going to be at Liberty Hall, Lawrence, Kansas, there with Noah Taylor. They're here on November 8th as we record this.
Wow. Benjamin and Ashley, they complement each other so well. Her fiddle and vocals really add a lot to his songs. They got a song called September Doves that has over 8 million hits. Ben sings, circumstances shot us down like September doves.
And for we know about that.
You know, for the non-hunters out there, the beginning of September, which just went by weeks ago, that is the beginning.
When I was
dove season.
When I was a child, my dad would always, that would be when we would cut the corn. We always usually had a field of corn for the cattle. And that's usually when you would cut the corn down and then, hey, it's dove season because of the doves kind of show up.
Baiting. It's illegal.
We didn't see it that way.
I gotcha. Benjamin, he kind of considers himself an outlaw. He does have the look of an outlaw with his piercing blue eyes.
If you go on their website, most of the pictures look like Old West outlaw photos.
The clothes they wear, it's kind of cool. Sierra Farrell kind of wears that old school kind of Western or the old outlaws back in the day, that
right.
kind of look. And he's got the hobo zip code tattooed on his neck, which is pretty wild. Anyway, check out Lost Dog Street Band wherever you get your music. We want to thank everyone for hanging out on the back porch. We'll see y'all down the road.
See ya.
In the knees, oh, I'm just a native son of Tennessee. Side of life with the best of intentions, I am told.